right, everybody. Welcome to SoxFest 2019. I'm Andy Mazur, and I do the pregame show on WGN Radio. It's good to be with you guys. It's good to be with these guys as well. This is the Down on the Farm segment. We've got Chris Getz off to my left. To my far left is Dylan Cease. And I'm Madrigal. And to my far right, Sebi Zavala. And again, you'll have the opportunity to ask some questions. We'll get to it right now, and we'll start with Chris. Chris, I mean, your title, and I'm reading this from the media guide, Director of Player Development, and you're in charge of everything that goes on in the minor leagues. That is a daunting task, isn't it?
It could be a very large undertaking if you just read it off the bio like that. But I've got a lot of help. When we acquire players, with the draft, international signing, it is the player development department's job to get the best out of these players and hopefully develop them into major league quality ball players.
And the fact that you had a couple of your minor league affiliates make the playoffs last year and do very well in the playoffs as well, and that's got to be that nice little feather in your cap to say, hey, we're doing some things right here.
Well, it's not the ultimate goal when it comes to player development. It really is grooming these guys to be major league players. Now, opponent is certainly important. We want to create an environment where go out there every night, compete, and win ball games. And we were, thankfully last year we had a couple competitive teams that took it to the playoffs and, like you said, played well.
And you had a manager of the year going on down there as well. Now he's Omar Vizquel, is going from single A now to double A.
Yeah, we have some great leaders throughout the whole minor league system that are managing and also in other positions. We were fortunate to have Omar part of the organization, and Tim Esme was manager of the year in Pioneer League as well.
All right, I want to get some thoughts of some of the players as well, and Nick, we'll start with you since you're off to my right here. You had a whirlwind kind of tour through the minor league system last year. You get done playing in the College World Series, and all of a sudden you want to play still.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was a quick turnaround, but I mean, my whole life has always been baseball. I mean, I haven't had a lot of downtime ever in my life. I think this is the first off season where, you know, I really family and enjoyed the holiday. And once the training started, I mean, we got back into baseball. But I mean, it's always been my life. I enjoy baseball. There's nothing else I'd rather be doing. But yeah, it definitely was a long year, but I enjoyed everything.
What was the best thing about that experience too? Because now you get a chance to be a professional. I'm sure the College World Series was a great experience to itself, but you know, being a big leaguer now, or being a major leaguer and potentially, yeah. And being a professional.
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. Every stop that I made, a lot of great players on each team. I formed a lot of friendships in the short amount of time that I had. And, it was awesome to see different coaches also in the pro style. Omar was great getting close to him, and he's a legend in this game, so I try to bounce as many questions as I could off him, and I enjoyed every stop that I made, though.
Okay. Let's talk to Seti. You had a couple of stops along the way, and what was it like last year going through from double A to triple A?
It was great. Birmingham, great facilities. It was really fun to play there. Was there half the year. Then went up to Charlotte, and once again, great facilities. It was fun to play. It's fun to play this organization.
Let's go back to your college days, too, because you played at San Diego State and for the Hall of Famer and the late Tony Gwynn, to know a little bit as well. And just talk about the experience you had with him and what messages you still carry in your mind from him.
Oh, man, there's so many things that he told me. The one thing that sticks with me every day is you got to know who you is. That's what he said. And as soon as you figure that out, you'll be as successful as you possibly can.
And Tony forgot more about hitting than a lot of us will ever know in our lives, for those that don't know that, obviously. But that had to be a tremendous experience just to be able to – you're playing at Tony Gwynn Stadium for Tony Gwynn.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. You're playing for a Hall of Famer, and not too many people get to meet a Hall of Famer, and to be coached under him is it was fun. I loved it.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't blame you. Dylan Cease, let's talk to you a little bit, too, because MLB Pipeline Minor League Pitcher of the Year last year, 12-2. We saw the numbers. So what do you have planned for an encore?
Hopefully the same thing, only at a higher level.
Okay, that sounds good to me. Going through the system last year, I mean, you were learning still stuff about yourself about how your stuff was going to play. What did you realize?
From last year or this year?
From last year.
I think every year in the minor leagues, you kind of you go through adversity, so you learn like how to implement things to your new process. So I rolled my ankle, and I came back from that really fast. And I feel like that worked its way up the chain, and my body just didn't feel good, and I wasn't executing pitches well. So I think last year, one of the most important things I learned was you have to be very diligent in it, with every aspect of your body.
Okay. Your offseason this year, your workout program changed a little bit. I mean, I know you're deep into yoga and into meditation, but you added something else to the list, didn't you?
With Pilates?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I did Pilates one day a year in 2017. I did it twice, so I'm trying to double the results.
You know, all the talk, obviously, is that, okay, maybe in 2019 we're going to see you in a White Sox uniform. How do you downplay that in your mind because you know you have to go out and put up numbers still?
Yeah, I mean, I get asked that question a lot. I don't do anything, like, consciously to downplay it. I just know that my job is to execute pitches, and everything else, you know, doesn't really matter. So focus on executing pitches and figure out my process and be the best pitcher I can be.
Yeah. And, Chris, how proud does this make you? I mean, to watch these guys as they're growing within your organization, knowing that you had a hand in bringing them in.
Well, I've been fortunate just to be in this position. We've done a great job identifying these types of guys, and it goes beyond just their physical talent, how they approach the game. They're just great guys. They love going to the ballpark each day. But, you know, just speaking about this panel, these guys, they have such a passion for baseball. You know, they make our jobs a lot easier. Sometimes I feel like, you know, if we have too many guys like this, we won't have jobs because of how they approach everything. But this group, I mean, we were fortunate to just go down to the Dominican Republic as a group, and, you know, how they approached that trip, how they obviously got their baseball stuff in, but dove into a new culture. And just looking back on the bus, seeing them at the hotel and certain things that we did, they were so into it, but they were having so much fun with each other, which then worked its way into the benefits of on the receiving end, some of the people we interacted with down the Dominican.
I want to get some of your thoughts about that trip, but how did it come about? How did that whole thing come about?
Organizations have done this in the past, and it's certainly something that I wanted to do years ago, and it just so happened after when we were planning for this past off season, it just felt like it was a good time for it. You know, not very often we have the core group that we do in the minor leagues, and I felt like, you know, if we can find the right time in the off season, go down to the Dominican Republic, see our academy, which is something that a lot of people in the organization have not seen. Certainly, some of the players. Dive into the culture, see some of our Latin American players down there, get a better understanding of the process that they go through, that I really felt that this could be for these players moving forward.
And Nick, what was that experience like for you?
Yeah, you know, when I got back from that trip, I told my parents that I was one of the best trips, you know, I've ever been on. And, you know, to see different parts of the country and, you know, different worlds, you know, we have it so lucky here in the United States. And to go over there and just get a little taste of what their life is like just for a couple of days and to look at the kids and see how happy the game of baseball makes. It was really cool to see. You know, we went to an orphanage one day. We had a little camp, baseball camp for some kids one day. And, gosh, I really don't think the trip could have gone any better. You know, we all enjoyed it. I know the staff did also. But I'll definitely take those memories with me for a long time.
Sandy, what about you?
Yeah, just like Nick said, it was amazing. We did the camp, the clinic. That was a lot of fun. These kids were running around, yelling, and it's really fun, you know. And then the same thing at the orphanage. These kids running around, just a great time.
And Dylan, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, it was a unique perspective to see where our Dominican teammates come from. So for me, my favorite aspect of the trip was the team bonding, for sure. Where, you know, we're all going to the beach together and figuring out something to do, and then, you know, it. That was the best for me.
And there was a picture on the website of you guys just laying down. You guys were all on the ground. It looked like it happened. Like you were all going to take a nap at the same time. What was going on?
We were doing like a, I don't even know if you considered it a meditation. We were just doing like a, I was sitting there going, okay, wiggle your toes. Like basically like feel different parts of your body, kind of get out of your head and more into your body. So it's like kind of a meditation thing, kind of made up, but it was It was fun.
Kind of a meditation thing, kind of made up. That's the quote of the year right now. Don't forget, you guys, if you want to ask some questions of these guys, you can line up over here. We have a microphone ready for you guys to ask the future White Sox stars here. And we'll continue our conversation with them in the, before you guys get to the questions. You know, Dylan, tell us something about yourself that maybe we don't know. Because I think I know something about you that I've heard, at least, about World War II.
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm obsessed with World War II, but I enjoy learning about it. And then I have a twin brother, and we always will do, like, little World War II trivia stuff. So I like learning about it because I feel like it was one of the most pivotal times in history and what shaped us. So I like learning every little aspect of what went on, process, and thinking behind everything. And it's fascinating.
See, more than just baseball players. These guys know some stuff. Nick, what about you? What's something about you that maybe the average fan or even the average broadcaster wouldn't know about you?
You know, I actually have a twin brother also. I didn't know. See,
nice.
I do, yeah. A fraternal twin brother that plays baseball also. You know, he's left-handed hitter, left-handed pitcher. So he's opposite of me. But he plays at St. Mary's College in California. But I didn't know that about Cease. But
really? Interesting.
Yeah, he's a lot bigger than I am. He got the height.
I'm bigger than my brother, so it worked out well.
Yeah, you guys got the looks, right? That's all really matters, right? Sevy, what about you?
I think one thing not too many people know about me is what my first name really is.
Yeah, tell us a story about that. I know you said, I know you told it a million times, but how about a million?
What's your first name to start off?
My Bernardo.
Okay.
And my middle name is Sebastian. I guess Cease didn't know either. Yeah, so my mom just wanted a nickname for Sebastian, and it was Sebi, and it stuck.
Cool. All right, there you go. You get some information about these guys that maybe you didn't know already. Chris, I'll ask you, too, because I don't want you to feel left out.
Oh, man. Let's see. My wife's pregnant with our third child.
Congrats, all right.
So certainly we'll welcome any advice on how to handle three children under the age of five.
Okay, he'll be over here after the show. So let's get some questions from the audience. And I kind of step up to the microphone there, and we'll tell us your name and where you're from.
Hi, Bob from the South Loop. Chris, I've got four and had a full head of dark hair before my kids became teenagers. Good luck. Welcome to all you young guys. We look forward to you having long and highly productive careers with the White Sox. Question for Nick, okay? Not just the White Sox, but throughout baseball, scouts have exploded, okay? And I'm very frustrated by it. You seem to be able to hit for average and pride yourself on not striking out. What do you do? How do you do that?
You know, it's really something I've never thought about. You know, my dad's always said to me, if you put the ball in play, good things can happen. And you know, I've always been one of the faster runners on the team, so I've always kind of had that in mind. You know, I've worked on in the batting cage, hitting different pitches, things like that. But, you know, before this last year, I mean, a lot of people noticed it, but something I've never thought about. I know it's part of my game. I don't enjoy strikeouts. I know in a lineup, though, you're going to have different players that need to do different things, like hit the ball out of the park. And for me, my job is to get on base for those guys to hit the home run. So, you know, I don't think about it too much. It's kind of funny. A lot of people are noticing it now, but it's just always been part of my game.
Good. Thanks. Yeah. Good luck.
Appreciate the question. Get the next audience member up here.
Hey, Sutton from Barrington. Question for Chris. Just kind of a general question. How much communication do you have with Kenny or Rick? Just about, like, the process on the farm and player development and how the prospects are coming along.
We're in communication constantly. You know, I live here in Chicago. I have an office at the stadium along with Rick and Kenny. Okay. And I would say we talk daily. Certainly throughout the season, I'm on the road a little bit more as I'm making my rounds through the affiliates, and they're on a different schedule. But we'll communicate certainly over the phone with reports, but they're up to speed with pretty much everything that's going on in the player development department.
Cool. Well, thanks for the question. And Chris, along those lines, too, I mean, with the fact that you are so heavily involved with this kind of thing, you have to update Rick and the guys up in the front office, how everybody's doing, what player moves might be going on, who might be jumping a class?
Well, the communication is essential to just to have a full understanding of where these guys are in their development process. So if they have full understanding, okay, this player A is at this point, okay, that's going to affect the major league team, maybe making a move at the major league level, some sort of trade or free agent signing. If we have a player that we feel can comfortably fill in there and help improve us, we'll go that way. So, it's pretty invaluable to have that open line of communication.
Let's go back out to the audience here.
My name is Brian, and I'm also from Barrington. My question is, what do you guys look for in Rick Renteria as a manager?
Anybody want to handle that?
Going back to college days and high school, I want my manager to win as bad as anyone on the team, on the field, anyone. I want someone that has that passion, and, everything I've seen, he has it. And, I respect that having a manager. No matter how hard he can be, I think at the end of the day, if everyone's trying to win and pulling for the same goal, I think everything kind of takes care of itself.
And Sebby, and you and Dylan, you've had experience with him in spring training as well.
I look forward to seeing how I can make myself useful. So whatever he says, I'm going to do.
One of my favorite aspects in a manager is energy. If they have energy and they're providing energy every day, the players are going to come ready to play. And Ricky definitely has that.
Yeah, I mean, they talk about it in football all the time, that the team plays in the way their manager is, right? I mean, it's kind of a mirror image kind of thing. But in baseball, you don't hear that as much, but it's that enthusiasm is kind of infectious with them. Great. Thanks for the question. Come on up.
How are you guys? Nick from Park Ridge. We're asking a lot of questions, which is great questions, about what you guys want to do on the field and all that. I'm a 28-year-old guy just like you guys. Let's hear a little, you guys are down on the farm, long bus ride, some pranks, something. What? Give us a story. Come on, give us something like that. Let's hear something funny. Let's get some laughs.
Pranksters, are you? Come on.
Zach Collins. That guy's the biggest prankster of anyone.
What has he done? Give us a story. You have to have
one. For instance, in the Dominican Republic, we were playing with kids, and a kid fouled a ball off, and Zach was a pitcher, so I was trying to throw him the ball. So I'd go, hey, Zach. And he would look at me for a split second. Then he'd look away. And I didn't realize he was messing with me. And I'd be like, Zach. He looked at me, look away. I did it like 6 times. I'm like, wait a minute. And he just looks at me and smirks. I'm like, he just tries to make your life harder than it is. It's all good fun.
You two got anything? Even from college. I know you just got here, so. It's
yeah. I've only been with these guys a short amount of time. I can't think of any good pranks right now. Going back to the Collins thing, if there's ever a pickup volleyball game, make sure not to pick Collins. We play in the Dominican Republic a little bit, and I think that's why our team lost. But, no, I don't know. I can't think of one that comes to mind. I'll keep thinking as he answers. But,
You had a pause. I know you have something.
I got another one, but it's from the Cubs. So should I talk about it or no? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I think you got your answer.
Chris, yes. Start teaching these guys. Come on now.
Right. It sounds like I need to bring this to the table on the PD front. So I apologize.
What about you? I mean, what about you in your playing days?
Oh, yeah. You have to have something good. Something good.
Gosh,
I don't know if it's appropriate.
Yeah, I was going to say.
There's some kids in the audience. It's a little dangerous for some of the pranks that were placed on me.
Thanks, guys. Good luck.
Thank you. Thanks for the question. Appreciate it. Real quick with you and Nick, number one draft pick. And what kind of pressures come with that? Or do you allow yourself to even think about that?
I really do think, I've had pressure my whole life. No matter if it was back in high school, the draft in high school, or the pressure of trying to get a scholarship to a college. I mean, there's always pressure out there. I really think it's just how much you pay attention to that pressure. I feel like in the off season I work just as hard and harder than anyone. So when I step on the field, I don't have to think about that pressure at all. I'm just out there playing the game and, having fun with it. So, I know there's going to be pressure. If I said there wasn't going to be, I would be lying right now. But, it really doesn't bother. I mean, I feel comfortable with where I'm at right now. And, I'm very blessed to be in this position, first off.
Sounds good. Let's go back out to the audience here real quick.
Hi, I'm Bill from Downers Grove. I think for some of the younger players out here who are listening to you, what's your daily routine? What was your routine before you got to the minor leagues? What's your routine prior to spring training? What's your routine going forward during the season?
I think when you're growing up, trying to find a routine and stuff, I think everyone's routine is going to be different. You know, everyone's going to be working on certain things. And my advice to younger players is find what you're good at and practice it as much as possible and become really good at that. I think once you find what you're good at, like Tony Gwynn would say, know who you is, you're gonna start making leaps and a lot bigger strides in your game.
You know, my routine goes back to when I was 8, 9 years old. Me, my twin brother, and my dad would go out to the field every single day, no matter if it was a weekend or a weekday. You know, after school, we would go up to the high school right around the corner and take 3, 4 buckets of ground balls until, you know, I couldn't take them. I was tired. And then we'd go hit for an hour. And we did that every single day. That was kind of our thing. We bonded over it. I enjoy work. I mean, I've always been pushed for goals and bigger things I want to do. So, I mean, when a lot of people were out, you know, playing video games or doing something different, I mean, we were out on the field for 3, 4 hours a day, and that was every single day. So, you know, that was kind of our thing, me, my twin brother, and my dad.
Dylan, how about you?
I would say I'm a little bit less, like, routine-oriented and more just trying to be conscious. So, like, you always have to get your body ready to play. You know, you have to do that. But, like, for me, I stability, like, my meditation and stuff like that. So when I get to the field, it's like I know what to do in the moment. It's not necessarily routine-oriented, you know, because life doesn't always work like that where you can follow a nice routine. Sometimes you have to, like, handle adversity and you have to do different things. So I'm just trying to be as conscious as I can.
Yeah, thanks for the question.
I got one more
thing.
Thank
you, guys. Good luck.
Good.
For the kids, too, you can't forget to have fun. I mean, the second you have fun, the game gets boring, you get over it. Just have fun.
Good advice. I got to go back to the twins because it's driving me crazy. I got to find out about Dylan. What is your twin brother doing now? Is he playing baseball still?
No, he's supposed to be a pilot, but he's a waiter right now.
Okay. Now, as a pilot, have you ever flown with him?
I have flown with him down to Florida, and it was a plane 1940s. So it was a real sketchy plane, and I was me and his girlfriend were flying down there, and they didn't tell us that they had to switch halfway through. They had to switch from the aux tank to, like, the main tank. So for like 10 seconds, and there was a storm going on too. For like 10 seconds, we were free falling and freaking out, and then they, like, laughed about it. Him and his co-pilot.
Dylan, let's not ever do this again.
I was with the Cubs at that point, so it's okay.
First and only flight you're going to take with your twin brother, is that it?
I'd probably do it again, but he'd have to talk me into it.
All right. Fair enough. What about your brother? Is he still playing ball?
He is still playing baseball, yep. He's a senior year at St. Mary's College. We're fraternal twins. Like I said, he's at least 2 or 3 inches taller than me. He's bigger than me, but, left-handed pitcher over there. He's a lot more goofier than I am, so a lot of people say
my twin's hilarious.
The more serious one, yeah, he's the jokester out of the twins. Definitely.
Okay, and no twins. Yeah, okay. I don't have any twins either. Yes, sir.
First of all, as a season ticket holder, I want to welcome all you young fellas to this great organization. Been coming to the park for a long time. You've got a legacy that has been created through many players, and you now have an opportunity to take it to the next level, which is the World Series, which we haven't seen since 2005. I've had a chance to talk to a few of you guys the last couple of days, and first of all, Dylan, I'm glad you're back on the south side, which is the best side of Chicago. Okay. Keep wiggling those toes, though. Gress, I want to thank you for taking this responsibility because it's a key responsibility for all the minor league teams to see how you're going to develop them to get to that major league level. It's a big responsibility. We expect a lot out of you, and we're going to get a lot from you for it. Appreciate that. Nick, I can't tell you about how nice of a fellow you are. You mentioned your family. That's the most important thing you can bring to the table is how you were raised in Northern California. Got to watch you on TV during the College World Series. A lot of expectations. hope to see you at second base. Sebi, a shout-out for the San Diego State Aztecs. My niece was a starting catcher there for about 6-7 years ago, and we're expecting a lot of good things out of you, too. Thank you very much.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And, you know, let's talk to you guys real quick here before we get to the next question about just the event, just experiencing it and getting to meet fans like that.
Yeah, I mean, this being my first time, you know, I really wasn't sure what it was going to be at all. I mean, I talked to guys last year, and they enjoyed the whole weekend. And to come out and see how many fans are here and how special, you know, because, I mean, I truly think the fans are what make, you know, us on the field go. And, you know, we can definitely feel it on the field and how passionate guys are. I mean, coming from Oregon State, that's how the fans are. I mean, they'll be screaming and yelling at the umpires and, you know, I can feel how passionate you guys are. So I want to thank you guys for, you know, letting me be a part of it.
And Sonny, what about your experience here so far?
It's great. It's same as Nick. It's fun getting to know all the fans. Yesterday, me and Zach Collins were out there playing some cornhole with some kids, and that was fun. They had a great time. Me and Zach definitely did.
Cool. And Don, what about you?
It's interesting. Through the minor leagues, and I mean, sometimes there's really not a fan at the game. So to see how intensely invested everyone is, it makes everything more motivating for sure.
Cool. Let's go back out to the audience for a question.
Hi, Dom from Chicago. First of all, I'm super excited to see you guys come up through the system and can't wait till you're on the big league club. And my question is for Nick. Baseball America, a few days, an article about you. I don't know if you saw it, but it talked about how most of your hits were to the opposite field in your first professional season. And I was just curious if that was something you were consciously trying to do, or you think it has something to do with your wrist injury, or just like small sample fluke kind of thing, or what?
You know, I think there's, you know, there's always going to be some pitches or at bats I wish I had back, or, you know, I think that's the game of baseball. I mean, I've always been taught, you know, hit the ball wherever it's pitched. I'm not saying all of them were on the outside part of the plate, but, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I'm definitely working on pulling pitches. I mean, I'm not going to change my game too much. I know there's been a lot of talk out there, but, yeah, I mean, if the ball's inside, I'm gonna try to pull it. I mean, that's what I'm going to try to do. It's not going to work out every single time. If the ball's on the outer half, I'm going to hit it to right field. So, I mean, you know, you can't tell the pitcher where you want it. I know it's going to, you know, keep adding to my game, the pull side, but I'm really not too worried about it. Yeah.
Well, even if you told us where you wanted it, we probably still wouldn't throw it there. We tried, so.
Good point.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, Thanks for the question. Appreciate it. Next up.
Hi, Antonio from Oswego. I'm just wondering, who are, like, some players you guys grew up, growing up, emulated your game after?
You want to start with them? You want to start?
I was a huge Alex Rodriguez fan. So it was like Chipper Jones, Alex Rodriguez, all the Braves pitching staff, and then like Verlander when he came.
Growing up in L.A., I watched a lot of Dodger-Giants games. So one guy I really liked watching was Benito Santiago. That guy played with passion and fire every game, and it was really fun to watch.
My dad was a huge Yankees fan, and I enjoyed watching Derek Jeter and the great players on the Yankees. I really liked how he kind of carried himself on the field. You can never tell by watching a game if he was nervous or angry or anything like that. He carried himself very well, and that's something that, you know, I try to emulate, and he was someone I definitely looked up to.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the question. Chris, real quick, too. I mean, you can see all the people that have come into this little session here. The minor leagues have gotten so much more publicity over the last few years. And, of course, with the White Sox now going through the rebuild, the focus has really been on these guys. What kind of experiences have you had with fans and seeing how knowledgeable they are now about the minor league system?
Yeah, there's so many things out there, so many publications, obviously, different platforms that give fans access to the minor leagues. It just gets more attention. And that's why we have forums like this and get the questions like we do. But it's great for baseball. It really is, and it's great for the White Sox organization right now because of where we're at. And then going back, having players up here and having them be able to interact with the fans and feel the fan excitement and get a feel for Chicago and what they bring, I think it all really comes together and is worthwhile. And I like the fact that that access does exist.
Let's go back out to the audience.
Hey, it's Ben from Oak Park. This is for Chris, and I just want to acknowledge that you guys are way more fit than me, so this isn't a comment against you. But when I read a bunch of articles last year from, like, Luis Robert and Aloy, and a lot of it was about how they, like, struggle to find food in, like, Birmingham that they like. There's just general consensus among minors to feed themselves, like, Chipotle and fast food. And I read that, I'm like, can't we afford, like, a chef or something? There's only 5 teams. Like, why not cater, have some sort of fruit spread or something like that? It seems ridiculous. So just wanted to see if you would, you know, pay for a chef. That's it.
You know, it's part of the challenges of the minor leagues. I mean, no, but with that being said, we've put a lot of money, effort into improving those things. I mean, which wasn't that long ago, going through the minor leagues myself, there were no spreads even offered at all. I mean, they may bring concession stand food, hot dogs and pizza, and that was all we had. We might have a peanut butter and jelly at some point if we were lucky. But, you know, I would say that nutrition is getting a greater focus in the industry, as it should, certainly in our organization as well. And we're putting more place to provide the best food as we can to let these guys go out there and compete at a high level.
Okay, well, thanks for the question. Or you had to wait for a major leaguer to come down on rehab, right? That'd be the way to get the spread paid for, right?
That's true.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
So I'm Daniel from Chicago. This question's for Chris. At the end of last season, Rick Hahn said that the main reason Eloy Jimenez hadn't come up to the majors was his defense. Has he been working on that, gotten better, and is he ready now?
His defense is definitely improved. You know, with Eloy, and listen, we focus. Eloy is a very talented player. There's no question. When we have players, when it's time for them to come up to the big leagues as a farm director, I want them to be as well-rounded as possible, right? I want all assets or all facets of the game to be sharp, whether it be base running, certainly defense, hitting, on the pitching front, you know, honing and understanding their pitches and how to attack hitters. He's had a tremendous offseason. I was down in the Dominican Republic in November during our instructional league. He was preparing for some games to be played at, for his winter ball club, and I saw him every single day while I was down there. His preparation has improved. Nutrition, the things that he's put into his body, understanding recovery. He's taken all those steps. He's such a high-aptitude player. Now he's getting a better understanding of what it's going to take to be the complete player. So I fully expect in 2019 to get a more improved Eloy Jimenez.
Cool. Thank you for the question. Sebi, you had a chance to really see Eloy up close and personal there in Charlotte. Tell us a little bit about the experience you had with him.
I think he's going to be really good in the big leagues. I'm just amazed at the things he does every day. You know, you watch his first two at-bats, he looks like he's never played baseball, and then the third and fourth, he hits two home runs, and you're like, what the heck? Like, what'd you go do in the locker room real quick? Like, I need that almost every day, and he somehow has it. If you haven't seen him play yet, just wait. He's the real deal.
The internet sensation, too, with the hitting home runs, smashing light bulbs in the light standards. Pretty cool. All right, let's back to the audience.
Will from Lansing. My question is for Dylan, Sebi, and Nick, all three. So each of you has probably had a different experience with this, but seeing the team build its chemistry already in the minors is really exciting. So my question is for each of you, what has that been like to this point, developing with your future teammates, and how do you want to continue to bring that chemistry when you make the major league club for the long term?
Who wants to go first?
I just think I think the emphasis on how important it is something that I hadn't been a part of before, you know? Like going to the DR for team bonding, you know, that I don't know if a lot of teams do that. So the fact that we have an emphasis on that and getting to know each other on and off the field, and, you know, like I'll be talking with a guy like Lucas Giolito, you know, like about what advice he has, and you can just freely talk to these guys, and, you know, it really is like this team aspect of let's all try to improve and get up there and see how we handle things and see if we can't, you know, win a championship.
I think you said it perfectly. It's all about the chemistry. And every time we hang out, you know, not only did we have the Dominican trip, there was another trip in the fall that we all hung out with each other. And, you know, every time we're hanging out, even here, we're still building more chemistry, and I think it's going to carry over, hopefully, at the major league level.
I would say coming from, you know, I mentioned the college days a lot, but while I was at Oregon State, it taught me a lot and showed me a lot how what a winning program is and what it needs. And this last year when we won it all, that team was very, very close. Every single guy on that team was close and pulled for one another and just wanted the best for each other. And, you know, in the short time with these guys, I definitely can see it already coming together. You know, they're very welcoming, even for me. I mean, coming in the middle of the season, I mean, everyone helped me as much as they could. And, you know, it's definitely going to be exciting moving forward.
Thank you.
Good. Thanks for the question. Let's go back out to the audience.
Well, first of all, Chris, I want to tell you that I am living proof that having three children under the age of five does work.
Good to hear.
They are all productive adults, so it's okay. All right, so this is for all of you. At what age, you've all talked about college and this, that, and the other thing, but at what age, as a little boy, did you realize that you are three steps ahead of your peers and that this is a true dream that can come true?
Someone take it.
So when I was a kid, my brother and I were usually always the best players in the league. But I think it's hard to tell at that age if you're really good enough to be a big leaguer one day. So I don't know. I guess, I mean, if I had to guess too for them, you guys are probably always the top of your whatever you played in as well. So I don't know. When I was 13 or 14, that's when other kids like grew bigger than I did. So it was questionable there. I really didn't think, you know, I'd ever throw a baseball 100 miles an hour or do this or that. So it's pretty cool to see how it's progressed from childhood to now.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, I think you'd have to ask my parents. I mean, they were at every single game. But, you know, as long as I can remember, I mean, they were always telling me that I could do big things and set goals and do that. And they always believed in me. And they were always the first ones to say, well, why not? Why can't you go do that? Why can't you be a major leaguer, play professional baseball? And, you know, for me, ever since I can remember, 8, 9 years old, watching TV and watching baseball and knowing that's what I want to do with my life. And there really wasn't one thought in my head that I couldn't do it. You know, it's something I've always worked towards. You know, every single day of my life, I feel like I've had that in mind and pushed towards it. So, I mean, I think that's definitely driven me. I have to thank my parents a lot for that, for believing in me when a lot of people, you know, didn't along the way. But, yeah, it's something I've always worked towards.
Just like Nick said, he had parents who really pushed him and said that the sky was the limit. That's kind of how my parents were. And from being a little kid, I just always wanted, I said, I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can. If I don't achieve my goal, then it'll be okay, but as long as I push myself to be as good as I possibly can, I could live with the results.
Cool. Thank you. Oh, Chris?
Yeah, do you have...
Of course.
Well, you know, I grew up in an area right outside of Detroit, and there weren't a lot of major league players that had come from my area. Therefore, it was pretty much a pipe dream, and it really not a reality to anyone to have a kid from my town make it to the major leagues. You know, so it was. I was one of the better players, you know, on teams that I played for. But I'll be quite honest with you. I mean, I wanted a player, but no one around me really was saying that this is actually going to come together for you. So that it was probably a good thing too. So therefore, I went to my classes in school because. But it, you know, it was one thing at a time. Let's focus on college, and then you start getting the professional exposure, and then you start going outside of your small community throughout the state, and then your region, and then nationally, and you start getting this attention, and then all of a sudden, maybe I can make this happen. Maybe this will come together. It just kind of grew that way for me.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Cool. Thanks for the question. Appreciate it. Let's go back out to the audience.
I'm Frank from Terre Haute. I got a pitching question. A lot of the big league pitchers, the first two pitches they throw are strikes. And then you come up, next thing, they throw three balls, and then they're in a fight trying to keep from walking them. What is the mindset of somebody after you get two strikes on them? Why do they always end up with 3-2 and 4 or whatever?
Well, I don't know. That's never happened to me, but just kidding. It's probably they're trying to be too nasty, so they try to throw their best curveball, and they bounce it, and the guy takes it. And it's 1-2. Okay, I still have a couple pitches to work with. Do it again, bounces it. 2-2. Then you miss a pitch on the corner, and it's 3-2. Then you're in your head, you're like, man, if I go 0-2 to 3-2, my coach is going to yell at me, whatever. Then you walk him. That shouldn't happen. It really shouldn't happen.
But it happens a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to get guys out in the strike zone. I'm trying to be as efficient and execute. But the game, it's not easy to do. It looks easier than it is, so.
All right, let's go back out to the audience.
I'm Sophia from Heartland, Wisconsin. I have a question for all of you. Do you do any other sports other than baseball?
Not organized, but I play, you know, the sport I play the most besides baseball is disc golf. You ever heard of disc golf? With like a frisbee, and it's like golf with a frisbee?
Sort of.
Yeah, that's to the extent of, I'm scared I'm going to hurt myself if I do anything else, so it's video games and disc golf.
How about your younger years?
I played football 1 year and then basketball a little bit, but I was always baseball.
Okay. Yeah, growing up, I played football for 2 years, like 9, 10 years old, but it really wasn't football. I couldn't even get the helmet off by myself. My dad had to take it off. And I played basketball 1 year, but mostly it was all baseball, but I did try other sports. My parents were... They wanted me to try something different, so they knew, you know, baseball I loved. But, yeah, I played basketball and football for a couple of years.
When I was younger, I played soccer and pretty much only, and then I played 1 year of football. And pretty much around after 12 years old, 11, 12, I played baseball only.
Okay. What about you? What did you play?
I played a lot of different sports. I played basketball, hockey, football, golf, and baseball. And I do want to stress the importance of playing multiple sports. I know we're in an era now where it's become very one-all, and we've got whether it be travel teams or the academies, and we're trying to develop Major League Baseball players at age 4. I have a 4-year-old son, too, so I'm aware of some of these things. But from a physical and mental aspect, it is very healthy to play multiple sports. And I promise you, just because one kid has been playing just baseball since 4 years old does not mean that he's going to be better than you in the end.
Good question. I think we have time for a few more out here. A couple more, at least.
Hi, thank you all for your contributions. It's been wonderful insights. I can't thank you enough. This question is for Chris. Just checking to see if open tryouts for new prospects will be held at spring training this year, and if so, which date and location? Thanks.
Well prepared.
Yes, that's a very good question. We're not having open tryouts this year, but if there is a player who has interest, certainly have them reach out to us, and we'll have that player being seen.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Sir?
David from Cary, Illinois. We're very excited as Sox fans to see young guys like you come up, young men. You're obviously very accomplished. If you could each just give us, what do you think each of your strengths are, and what is the thing that you need most to get to the big leagues, to get with the big club?
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I think my style of play like I was saying earlier, my job is to get on base for the big guys and, work counts. I've always hit towards the top of the order most of my life. I don't know if that's going to be the plan, but I think that's my style of play. I mean, I'm going to steal bases. I'm going to go first to third. I'm trying to put the pressure on defense. And then on the defense side of it, I've always played towards the middle of the field. I mean, I can play third base. I've taken ground balls there. I can also catch a fly ball. So, I mean, I feel like I can be a utility player, whatever they need me to do. So I think that's my game.
I think defense is one of my strengths, and I think I can hit a little bit. As far as what I need to do, do that every day. If I can do that, I think I'll be in a good spot.
I think my strength is just my stuff, honestly. So figuring out how to mold that and use it to my advantage is the next step.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Larry from Schaumburg.
First of all, welcome to the team. I'm really glad. We're all really glad that you joined us. Just curious, as you grow up, you have your hometown team. I know you guys are ecstatic you were White Sox. Was there any urge to be signed by your hometown team?
I mean, back in the day, yeah, for sure. Definitely.
I feel like when you're a young kid and growing up, you definitely want to be drafted and play for your hometown team. But when it really comes down to it, you don't really care what team. And I couldn't be more happy to be with the White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I don't know. Playing, you watch the hometown team the most. You know, for me, it really doesn't matter. You know, some people say, "Oh, well, it'd be nice to have family there," but there's no reason why my family can't jump on a plane and come to the South Side. You know, so yeah, I'm excited to be a part of it, like Sebi said, and you know, can't wait moving forward.
Okay. As we wrap up, I think we have a couple more minutes left here. What are you guys most looking forward to coming up in this season and even going through spring training?
For me, honestly, just playing baseball. You know, this is a time of the year where you get antsy and you're getting ready to go out there. Maybe you're taking some ground balls or us doing some catching defense stuff. And, you know, you just want to get out there with the boys.
In my first spring training, you know, I'm kind of coming in open-minded. I know I'm going to meet a lot of players along the way. This is the longest off-season, you know, I've ever had away from the game of baseball. So, I mean, I'm itching to get back into it, and, you know, I feel ready to go at this point.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to just getting everything started again and just seeing if I can still, you know, if I remember how to spin a curveball and, you know, if I can still throw hard and all that. So just getting back and getting out there.
And Chris, you'd never really have an off season, so but what are you looking forward to? Just watching these guys go.
Yeah, I mean, I look forward to getting to Arizona purely because it's 4 degrees here. Yeah. But
good
really,
thought.
Yeah, just getting everyone together out in Arizona, being able to see the progress that everyone's made through their off season programs, and start playing some baseball.
Right. Well, we thank you guys for coming in here, and again, we thank the players for their time here. And hopefully we'll be seeing these guys sooner rather than later.